The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and tonight I'm standing in before, and I'm refilling the shoes of a very, very big man, and that's, in many ways, he's a big man. But he's a big man in the Lord, Pastor Ernie Sanders. I spoke with Pastor Sanders today, and he has a horrific sinus condition. He believes it's from the pollen, and he's not able to make the show tonight. So I'm here. I'll be the Lone Ranger tonight. So I'm hoping that we're going to have a real good show in the Lord. And as I said, I'm Chaplain John McTernan. And I've been with Pastor Ernie now going back, 30 years? The mid-90s? Yeah, coming on about 30 years now. And it's an honor to be a co-host with him on Friday nights. And it's an honor that he wants me to speak tonight for him. So we have a tremendous amount of material. I was going over it before the show. Incredible material. It's too much, really, what's happening. And we've got to look to the Lord in everything that's going on. Otherwise, we can get overwhelmed by the negativity. So what I'm going to do is I'd like to open with a word of prayer, and then I want to just give a word of exhortation from the book of 1 Thessalonians about the Lord coming for us. And I feel in the atmosphere that we're living in that we need to be exhorted. When we look politically and what's happening, we can't take our eyes off the Lord and be fixed on politics and economy and the military situation and all. But no matter what happens, we must be looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let me open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go into the book of 1 Thessalonians. Father, Abba Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the responsibility of being able to speak to all the listeners, Lord, and that you will guide me and strengthen me. I thank you for that. We want the information out that you want out, Lord, and we want the assurance of salvation and all our listeners. We want them anchored in the blessed hope, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. So just bless this time now. And Father, we want to pray for Pastor Ernie that we're hoping now, and he's hoping that he'll be back Monday. And actually, beyond that, Lord, that he'll be available Sunday to preach at church. So please clear up that sinus condition there, Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen. Well, I'd like to just comment here about the rapture of the church. It's also referred to as the blessed hope, and that's Jesus coming for us. And it's not just a hope, it's a blessed hope. So there is a lot of, sometimes there is a lot of opposition to the rapture. And it's amazing through the years how many people I have ran into that have, they're vehement against the rapture. And I've heard things like it's, I'm teaching doctrines of demons and devils and a false teacher and all. Of course, what I base is on the Word. And all of us, Pastor Ernie, and everyone in the ministry with him there, everybody on the radio show, we base what we believe on the Word of God, not something concocted in the 1830s or 40s or 50s and all. It's out of the Word of God that had been suppressed for hundreds and hundreds of years by the mainstream teaching that God brought out. Basically, I'm going to say so towards the mid-1800s, and it's been out to today. And I want to follow just a simple following in the book of 1 Thessalonians to show you that the doctrine in believing Jesus Christ coming for us before the tribulation period is right out of the scriptures, and it's part of the blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's edifying, it's exciting, it is encouraging. So if you're following me in your Bibles, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want to lead into verses 9 and 10. But chapter one is a very, very exhorting chapter here. So I'm going to start at verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So Paul is, he's writing to the Thessalonians, and this is an introduction to them. And in it, he's saying that the word of God came to you in power and in the Holy Ghost within much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So the Thessalonians had assurance in Paul and whoever was with him that they were godly men, that they were above reproach, and they were there for the sake of the Thessalonians to win souls and to have them have assurance of eternal life. Now, verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. So there was opposition to the word. It doesn't really say what it is, but there was opposition. They received it, and there may have been those mockers, those naysayers, and all, with joy in the Holy Ghost. So the word of God coming to them with salvation through Jesus Christ brought great joy to the Thessalonians, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So the Thessalonians kind of rose up to be an example. They were so full of God's word. They were so full of the Holy Spirit. There was apparently there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Thessalonica when Paul was preaching, and that made them examples to all the people round about. Verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to toward Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. So the word of the Lord that the Thessalonians received, it was going out in great power. And it reminds me of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell and Peter preached, and 3,000 were saved in one day there. That was the power of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that had fell on the day of Pentecost. And later, in chapter 4, it talks about 5,000 men being saved. And the word was spreading. It was going abroad from Jerusalem. And this is what that same type of outpouring of the Holy Spirit now was going forth from Thessalonica. The Thessalonians were spreading the word of God abroad. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Now, this second part of verse 9 is very important. And how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. How they turned to God from idols. All of the, in Paul's day and in the Lord's day, all of those nations around them were pagans. All of them. They all had their idols, and they may have had different names of pagan gods, but they all were the same pagan gods. And Paul talks about how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They turned from God. So they repented. They turned to God instead of, I said from God, excuse me. They, and how ye turn to God from idols. That shows tremendous repentance. And that's where that great power of the Holy Spirit came on them, the great infilling of the Holy Spirit, because they weren't half in and half out with the Lord. They were completely sold out to the Lord to serve the living and true God. Now, verse 10 is directly connected to 9 in that a semicolon joins them. So, but I'm going to read the second part of 9 and all of 10 together, and this is powerful for about the looking for the rapture of the church. And how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. As brand new believers, repenting, turning from idols to serve the living God, what were they doing? They were waiting for his Son from heaven. This wasn't looking for the blessed hope, waiting for his Son from heaven. That's the same as looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus. Now look how this ends, verse 10, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come is the tribulation period, when God's wrath is going to be poured out upon the earth. And we're going to show this as we go on to those other scriptures. But this is powerful. The waiting for Jesus Christ, looking for the blessed hope, as I like to use, is not a nice thing to just believe in. It's a fundamental of the faith. I look at Christianity 101 as the cross, well, Jesus Christ being the sinless, only begotten Son of God that died on the cross and shed his blood for forgiveness of sin and that we could have eternal life. That's Christianity 101. But Christianity 102 is, as Paul said, if Christ be not raised from the dead, you are yet in your sins, and your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. So Christ had to be raised from the dead as part of our salvation. So Christianity 102 is Christ was raised bodily from the dead And he is returning for us bodily, and we are going to have a resurrected body like his. That's Christianity 102. The church looking for Christ to come for us, the blessed hope. And this scripture here tells us that when the Lord's coming for us, we're going to be delivered from the wrath to come. Let's go and take a look at chapter 3. And we'll go, I want to look at verse 13, but we'll go 12 and 13 together. And this is like the Lord, Paul's giving a nice scriptures to them. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another, all men, as we do towards you. Okay, so this is looking for love now, that we're going to grow in love for all men. And this verse 13 is attached to 12. There's a colon. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at who all his saints are in a moment, who the Lord's coming with for us. But notice it says that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So God wants us mature. He wants us, well, unblameable before him, without spot or wrinkle, and in holiness. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, that's how he wants to come for us. And he's coming with all his saints. So now let's look at chapter 4. And we're going to look at Paul, who all these saints are. Now, Paul in chapter 4 is the fear that people have that some of their loved ones have passed away. And what's going to happen to them? So we'll come to, I might as well just read that section of scripture, starting at verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That means the body is like asleep, waiting for the resurrection. The spirit and the soul have gone to be with the Lord, but the body is waiting. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, there it is, and rose again, there is the Christianity 101 and 102. The dying is 101 and the resurrection is 102. Even so also, which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There it is, folks. He's bringing those that have died in him. Those are the saints that are coming with him, will bring with him. Well, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. There are the ones that the Lord is bringing with him. They are going to receive their body before us, their new resurrected body. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the Christ is coming with those that have died in him. They are going to be resurrected first, glorified body like Jesus, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. The word there, caught up together, is where we get raptured. Caught up with them in the clouds. And I believe that's the clouds of believers coming up. and we're going to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and then he's taking us to heaven. We'll be brought before the Father, before the throne in heaven, and eventually they will go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then verse 18 ends, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. And folks, I have prayed through the years. I'm a chaplain. I'm a chaplain. I've been a chaplain since 1980. Wow. That makes me think now. Yeah, since 1980, ordained as a police chaplain. My background is law enforcement. So I've prayed with people who have lost spouses, parents, children. Some terrible things have happened there. And this is a sin-caught, cursed, fallen world. And that's why these things happen. But we as believers have the blessed hope, because verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these things. So the Lord is bringing, he wants us to be comforted, that he is bringing those that passed on before us, that believe in him. They are coming. They are going to be resurrected first. Then us, we are raptured. We don't die in that sense. Our body is instantly changed. 1 Corinthians 15 calls it a mystery what this is, and that in a twinkling of an eye, we would call it a nanosecond. We are in this body, and a nanosecond later, we have a glorified body being raised up to meet the Lord in the air. And we are to comfort one another with these words. So if you've lost if someone has passed that you were very close to, spouse, child, parent, sibling, like that, it's a temporary separation. Because at the Lord's coming, when we're all resurrected, we'll be joined together with him, and we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb and eternity with each other. All right. So I said all of this to go into chapter 5. Now, notice how it's in sequence, what I'm saying. This is the beauty of Thessalonians. But of the time, verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So times and seasons in the scriptures means the coming of Jesus and him ruling as King of Kings during his reign on earth here. And it's referred to as the day of the Lord in verse 2, the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is Christ coming, but it's more than that. It is his reign here on earth, the millennial reign for 1,000 years. Verse 3. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. The day of the Lord is not going to overtake us as a thief. Remember, we are going to escape the wrath to come, according to 1 Thessalonians 1:10. But ye are all children of the light and of the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And then verse 6. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. Sober means clear-minded, and watch is like you're on guard in the military as a sentry. You are watching every moment. And we're watching for the day of the Lord, Christ's coming in judgment. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, here it is, be sober again, that's clear-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. So we are here growing in faith and love. That's what God wants us to do. Now look at this. and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation is Christ coming for us and the eternal life of our body. That's in context, that's what this is. Not the hope of just the eternal life to be with him. The hope of salvation, completeness, is that our body will have a resurrected body like Jesus Christ. Now, here is the most, the knockout punch verse in this. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That salvation is the completeness of our body, the resurrected body, and being in heaven with him. So God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants us to watch for the coming of the day, to be sober, to be watchful, because he is coming for us before that day. And as we see the day approaching, which we see now, folks, there are so many signs pointing, prophetic signs to the coming day of the Lord, which means we are not appointed to the wrath of that day, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That salvation is in chapter 4, the rapture of the church. So before God's wrath, as 1 Thessalonians 1:10 tells us, before God's wrath, we're going to escape it. We're not going to face it. And verse 9 tells us, we are not appointed us to wrath. That's exactly what chapter 1, verse 10 says, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are resurrected, that's how we obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We go to heaven, we're before the throne, and we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and many other things which I can't discuss now. But I wanted you to see what we're looking for, the blessed hope, Christ coming for us, the rapture. We see the tribulation period, but we are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Time for a break.
When I die, don't cry for me. In my Father's arms I'll be. The wounds this world left on my soul will all be healed and I'll be whole.
I want to give you a little background on that song. It's the name of it is All My Tears. And this is going to be sound mind-boggling to you. The name of the group is Hyde, H-A-Y-D-E, Bluegrass Orchestra. And they're from all, of all places, Norway. They're Norwegians. And they love American bluegrass. This song was sent to me about a week ago. And, of course, over the radio, you might not hear the tremendous voice of the singer. Her name is Rebecca Nielsen. But I highly recommend the group to you, Hyde Bluegrass Orchestra. If you go online, you can get them at on YouTube. And this song is, I think, the most outstanding, All My Tears. So it's been a great blessing to me. I've listened to it many, many times in a week. So I just want to recommend it to you. So it was such a blessing to me, I wanted to share it with all the listeners. All right. Now, I want to let everybody know how to get on Pastor Ernie's mailing list. He sends out tremendous information on the mailing list. So if you're interested, it's WRWL, what's right, what's left, 14781 Sperry Road, S-P-E-R-R-Y Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. And maybe later, I'll give it again before the end of the show. And like I said, he includes a tremendous information in that newsletter. Now, the only orders I had from Pastor Ernie when we spoke earlier today was to make sure we cover an event that's taking place this weekend. I don't know if it started maybe it started tonight, but I know it's tomorrow and Sunday in Boston, and it's called SatanCon. And what they're claiming, it is the largest Satan gathering in, I guess, history or history of the United States. Or anyways, they're promoting it as the largest satanic meeting. This is really serious, folks, for the nation. The city of Boston in particular, the state of Massachusetts, and for the United States. And this is a continuation of what we're seeing manifest of evil and Satan's realm manifesting here in the United States. It's out in the open, worshiping Satan. I do not look at these Hollywood. I'm not interested in all in Hollywood. I don't look at these, what do they call them, Grammys. And there's several things that the awards they give. But I do follow as it's picked up in the media and how they're having open satanic worship, worshiping Satan, glorifying Satan. Apparently, they're doing it also at the Super Bowl at halftime. There's a lot of occult things that are manifesting there. And so we have this outbreak now of outright Satan worship. And we can't ignore this, folks. We can't pretend it's not happening. This is something that is really, really serious for the nation. This is highly offensive to the Lord. And I don't know in this agenda what they're actually going to do. I mean, I know it was taking place, and I posted it on my blog. And I don't remember exactly. Yes, I do remember one thing. To get into this event, you had to be vaxxed for the COVID vax and all the boosters. I do remember that about the event. So I think what we should do, folks, and I want to give a testimony. I've been thinking about this, of how important it is that we intercede before God. And as I said, Pastor Ernie emphasized that we cover this tonight. Because I want to go back to 1987, when God called me into a specific ministry. And it had to do in October, it was like October 8th, 1987. And at that time, it was the in Washington, D.C., it was the largest homosexual gathering in the world. And I didn't know it was occurring. And I watched the news. And then they had a coverage of it on the news. And it kind of upset me. And I turned the TV off and walked away. The following Monday, the stock market started to crash. And at that time, it was the largest weekly crash in history. And then on Monday, there was the big crash where the market fell like 10% or more in one day. And I was watching TV again on the news, and I was looking at the broadcaster, and his lips were actually quivering. And he said, will this start another depression? Are we heading into another 1930s type of depression? And right there, the Lord took me back. And I could see it clearly. He took me back to the week before, and he showed me the homosexual march. And he said to me, "You do not fear me, because if you feared me, you would have fell on your knees and repented before that march, and repented that I would not judge America." He said, "The nation is open and naked before me in judgment." I thought I feared the Lord. At this point, I realized what the true fear of the Lord was, believing that this would bring his judgment. Isaiah 24 says, "When God's judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness," folks. And I fell prostrate before him and repented. And asked him to show me the true fear of the Lord. And from that time on, the Lord began to show me links of what was happening specifically, not only, but generally, specifically America. And I wrote two books, God's Final Warning to America, and As America Has Done to Israel. And in it, I document same-day events, cases, before the abortion cases before the Supreme Court, huge earthquakes on that day, and the Supreme Court ruled against, ruled in favor of abortion. Gay Pride Day, huge homosexual marches, massive earthquakes, stock market crashes, hurricanes, starting in 1987, all the hurricanes hitting the United States, there was some component of abortion, homosexuality, or touching Israel. That's where my book, As America's Done to Israel, comes from. And then I knew it was going to end one day, that these were warning judgments. And then Obama was elected president. And lo and behold, the judgments increased. These destructive things, events increased. But the linkage stopped. The linkage stopped. And as I've studied this, and as I'm telling you, which I fully believe, that the Obama was judgment on America. It was God's judgment on America, which continues to today. He gave us a little respite with Trump, and that was blown through. And we've got Biden, who's a double Obama, and who knows who's really running. And then in 2014, in June 26, 2014, the Supreme Court ruled that sodomy was equivalent to marriage, which God ordained between a man and a woman. And a dread came over me, I repented before the Lord because he had showed me what true repentance was, what the true fear of him was. And the church, by and large, ignored it, folks, like nothing happened. God was offended. The gates of hell, that Supreme Court decision, opened up the gates of hell. And what we see now, what we're facing now, is because the church did not intercede, did not cry out to him for mercy, did not repent that God's holy, ordained, holy marriage between a man and a woman was ordained by God before man fell into sin. This is God's plan. And we have mocked it. The Supreme Court, when they made that decision, in the decision that they could not find anywhere in history what they were doing, that the even in like the days of Rome, they tolerated homosexuality but not made marriage. This here is sort of like the days of Noah. And legally, we have made it a law, highly offended God. And what we're facing now is hell opened up, and it's very serious, folks. Very, very serious. And on top of it now, we have open Satan worship in a major city, and bringing out every demonic thing connected with Satan in our midst, folks. It's something we need to bring before the Lord, repent of, and ask forgiveness. So I want to do that now. I don't want to forget it, because I'm responsible before the Lord, sort of as a watchman, warning about what a watchman would see in Ezekiel 33 and warn the people. So, Father, we're before you in the name of Jesus. You are holy. Sin offends your holiness. And Lord, we repent of that Supreme Court decision that made a sinful act equivalent to your union between a man and a woman. So Lord, we ask for mercy. We ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. This is sobering, Lord, what's happening before us, what's happening in the schools, what's happening to the children, Lord. The boldness and the aggressiveness of hell, Lord, is right in our faces now. Lord, we repent of this event in Boston, where it's open Satanism, Lord. I don't know what they're going to do, what they're going to say, but we repent of it, Lord. We are asking for a outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're asking for mercy, Lord, that we wouldn't receive the judgment due, that you'd have mercy on us and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The seraphim before you in heaven are declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And your holiness, nations can offend your holiness. Ancient Israel did it and still suffers today for what they did 2,600 years ago. So I thank you that we can come before you, and we praise you and thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, what I want to do is show you some of the things here that what's going on, the seriousness of the hour we live in, and how they are taking it to us, folks. They meaning the hard left, the communists, they want to destroy America and strip everything away and then turn us into a communist state that we will be ruled by them. So they're trying to destroy our culture, our history, everything. And they're trying to destroy our youth. So let's look at, I'll take these articles as I posted them on my blog. If you're interested in my blog, it's You go to mct911.com, mct911.com. I blog just about every day with key information that you need to follow. All right, so here's the heading. Left fascists vandalize Utah State Senator's house. And this is dated the 26th. And I'm looking at a picture now where there's a group, maybe 100 or so. And apparently it's in front of a Utah State Senator's house. And here's what happened. Mike Kennedy is a state senator in Utah. He is the sponsor of Utah SB 16, which prohibits performing sex characteristic surgical procedures on a minor for the purpose of effectuating a sexual change. I want to emphasize on a minor, folks. It's not outlawing this as a medical procedure, but to minors who can't really make consent on their own. They have to have a parent to make a consent. The bill was passed and was signed into law by Utah Governor Spencer Cox in January. On Friday, Kennedy posted on Facebook a photo of his home where someone had taken red paint and scrawled a huge letters on the garage door. Towards fash, which means fascist. And then we go down to a little bit more on this article. And it says, this is from the senator. To those who seek to use violence, vandalism, and intimidation to deter me standing up for what is right, let me be clear. You will not succeed. I will not be deterred by your cowardly actions. The recent vandalism on my family's home was not just an attack on me, but on the very principles our state stands for. Amen. Amen. This man is a true leader. And I would say, in a political sense, he's a patriot. We'll not let fear and violence control our destiny as Utahns. We will always stand up and push back against radicals who seek to push their agenda in our state. And I am more determined than ever to work with the good people of Utah to make our state a better place for all, especially our children. And I won't back down. So this is happening all across the country, folks, things like this. It's happening in Utah. It's happening in Wyoming. It's happening in Washington, D.C. There are other, I just can't think of the others. Tennessee is a big one where it's happening. And the hell, I'm going to use the terminology hell. Hell is very aggressive. It's supercharged. And they are really taking it to the political, to the politicians to see if they're going to cut and run. They're checking to follow the politicians now, who will succumb to them so they can bully their way through. And let me get, okay, here is a tremendous one from Kansas. The headline, Kansas Republicans pass law that libs are calling one of the most sweeping and restrictive transgendered bathroom bills in history. Okay, quote from the article. Kansas Republicans have passed a law that transgendered activists are calling one of the most sweeping and restrictive transgendered bathroom bills in U.S. history. This is mind-boggling, folks, over protecting females from being exposed to by males in their own bathroom. House Republicans overrode Democrat Governor Laura Kelly's bill veto on Thursday with a vote of 84 to 40. The state's Senate did the same on Wednesday with a vote of 28 to 12. The bill, 180, states that the individual's sex means their biological sex
either male or female, at birth. It adds that a female is an individual whose biological reproductive system is developed to produce ova, an egg. And male is an individual whose biological reproductive system is developed to fertilize the ova in a female. That's radical, folks, to these people, to the ones that deny reality, to the ones that are living in delusion. This is radical. It further says that distinction between the sexes in specific places are substantially related to the important governmental objectives of protecting the health, safety, and privacy of individuals in such circumstances. This has them screaming. This is radical to them. Defining a man as a man and a woman as a woman. The opposition here, they are completely in delusion, folks. They are living in like Alice in Wonderland, in a delusion. And when we bring...
Fight the fight, take the stand, light the light, feel our land, let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.